Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I have returned from the land of not my home, which is fortunate to be back in my own office. It is not as scary as a hotel, and when I look outside, I do not see strange people. They're going to stab me.
What kind of a hotel were you staying in?
Like, okay, do you know the type of towns that have, like, one decent hotel?
Yes.
It's that type of town.
Okay.
Yeah, those towns are not pretty, you know? No, it's, I kid. It was fine. Smith Falls is wonderful this time of year, and yeah, it was a good time. And
you sound like you're getting so old. Oh, Smith Falls is just lovely Smith this Falls time of year. Have you seen the color?
It's amazing. The water smells like jasmine. And I'm pretty sure that the Harveys gave me food poisoning. It was fun. I got a lot of time to play some mobile games. I played Goddess.
Oh, are we back to this again?
Yeah. You know, Peter Molyneux, me and Peter, as I call him, we go way back.
I feel like it must be Goddess.
It's gotta be Goddess. I'm on the Goddess camp.
Because it's like, but it's, yeah.
It's definitely Goddess. I don't know, though,
because, I mean, there's just one D, so it should probably be, like, the U makes the O make the O sound, right? So it should be.
But I feel as though, maybe it's a British thing, you know?
I don't know.
We need, like, someone get Terpstra on the line, and we'll figure this thing out. Yeah, he'll probably say Goddess. Goddess is a game we chatted about a long time ago.
It was. After we had that original conversation, other than this iOS title, did you actually go back and play it at all? Because I didn't touch it.
I did a little bit because there was a big update, but my save file didn't restart. Like, it didn't give me the option to restart. So I was kind of like, well, I don't know how I experienced this new and improved progression system without being able to restart my save. I mean,
right.
That's the problem with early access, is that it really feels like there's no way to, you know, do options. It's really weird. I'm not a big fan of early access in the sense that it's missing key stuff, like, I don't know, new game. I don't know. Like, I kickstarted this game, and the iOS version is complete in the sense that it is not early access, but it is free to play, which is interesting.
And is it, it's iOS, so is that iPad or iPhone, or does it matter? Like, it's a pretty small, or at least I remember from playing it on the computer, even on the monitor, it was really hard to, like, see stuff and click stuff, and everything was really, really small. So I can't imagine trying to play that on an iPhone.
I definitely am playing it on iPad. I know it is universal, so I'm sure it will work on your iPhone. But the mere fact that I'm having issues, like, getting around on the iPad, and it's two fingers to pan the map, I could not imagine.
Four or a five?
The phone is a five.
Oh. Well, that's not too bad. At least you have the larger of the two screen options, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the iPad is definitely your go-to with Goddess. And I felt like the early game was very similar to the PC version. You're progressing your town, you're collecting belief. Do you remember the old version of the game was kind of like a tap, 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 tap kind of thing to collect all your belief? Yes. That was one of the main issues. In this version, and I believe in the PC version since we played, they've updated it, so you just have to hold tap on one and then just, like, kind of scribble around and get them all in one fell swoop.
Okay.
Which is much faster, but still feels kind of like work, you know, like free-to-play work, which is not what you want when you're playing video games. But the obviously they add, like, a gem store, so that's their, like, you know, their special currency, and you can earn it by finding it in the map by, like, moving and finding treasure chests, or you can buy it,
of course.
And you know, you progress like the other game with the timeline of cards and expanding your population. But I'm sure in this version, when you unlock a card, you have to, like, apply stickers to that card in order to fully unlock it. And like free to play, you find those stickers in the chests, but after you progress to a certain point, you stop finding them and you have to start buying them or earning them with these, with mini games and stuff. Oh my God. And
Stupid dog.
You were so calm. What? She doesn't like GOTUS. Here, shut up. Just sit and be cute. There's no one out there. I don't. Anyways. But, yeah, it's entertaining, and it's free to play. I suggest picking it up, especially if you
were... I might give it a try.
You know, you were relatively interested in the PC version, and...
Yeah. It seems interesting. Mm-hmm. It had potential way back when we started the beta, because I'm trying to remember, because I got early access, too. I don't think I did any kickstarting of anything. Mm-hmm. I haven't kickstarted very many things. But yeah, I remember it was okay, but I hit so many roadblocks with it that I was just kind of like, okay. When again, I think we've talked about this before about early access and how it can kind of kill the excitement around a game. Like, it's almost better if you just don't play. Like, I'm not playing Warlords hardly at all in terms of like actual beta access. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going to give it a try again because I've seen some really cool things in the most recent builds, because I get the like notifications from Wowhead and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, man, like, I really, really want to play. I really want to get into this game. And then I tried to copy over my characters because there's been a wipe since the last time I did it. And I tried to copy over my characters, and it just crashed. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is a sign. I should not play this content until it's official and it's released and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think early access is really starting to kind of kill some games for me. So as super awesome as, like, say, Hearthstone beta was, I haven't had that experience with anything else, and I think it has a lot to do with anything that has any kind of, like, story, which I know that in Goddess there isn't that much of a story. It's more so just, like, strategy, resources, all that kind of stuff. But I think anything that has any kind of story to it that can be spoiled, you're better off just kind of holding back. And chat room is also saying Heroes is good, and I'm having the same kind of issue with Heroes. Is like they're in alpha, so they're putting in a lot of stuff, they're taking out a lot of stuff, and I'm just kind of like, I don't want to get attached to any one build in an alpha, because then it's just like, oh, they might take away my favorite feature, or they might introduce something that I really, really hate, like I think it was Artifacts, which I think they've already gone back on. So yeah. You know, like, it just, it's so like back and forth and back and forth in when you're in alpha and even sometimes in beta phases, and I'm just kind of like, you know what, I really just want to play finished games as much as I want this content as soon as possible. I'd rather have finished content. So I think I'm just going to kind of back away from all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, some would argue that a lot of free-to-play titles are in an ever-fluctuating early access. I mean, look at Smite and the god that you were digging on, Nua, who got a complete refresh. You know,
although she's pretty fantastic now too, but
yeah, and that underboob, man, you can't go wrong. Yeah.
Oh, man, so much underboob.
It is like that. Okay, that she is on the title screen of that game now, and they really went for it with that character.
Yeah, they really, really did. It's to the point that I'm kind of just like, why even bother with the ribbon?
Yeah. Oh, are we gonna have like a BMX XXX scenario over here with Smite? We don't want that. That game was not widely reviewed.
It's just like, yeah, so much boob.
Well, there's no boobs.
And she had a really, really cool design before in terms of powers and in terms of actual like character design. I really liked her. I loved her big like elemental staff thing.
Careful.
So cool. There was a hand gesture, and I'm glad that it was mostly off screen because she holds her staff like way off screen, so I was mimicking her, so you couldn't really see the hand gesture, but there was a hand gesture.
And you know, she had boobs before too, and just and not as uncovered.
Anyways, I like her design.
Yeah,
her new design's pretty cool with her glowy tattoos too. But anyways.
Oh yeah,
but that's same sort of thing. Like, they're free to play. They've redesigned a few gods now, Hercules, Zeus, like kind of the ones that they came out way back at the beginning of the game, really. they redesigned a bunch of those, and then not so much from the power standpoint, but from the just skins and animations and stuff, they've redone it. So it's interesting to see in that sense, because I find for the most part, it doesn't actually change the game experience. Like, they've added new maps, but they haven't taken anything away. They haven't really changed anything significantly, except for adding functionality. You can swap gods now in Assault, you know, that kind of stuff. It's cool. There's only been a couple of gods that I think they've actually changed, Nuwa being one, and there was one other right when we first started to play that they actually, like, full-on, like, changed. Kali, I think. Yeah, they full-on changed her too. I don't know. It's good to have an ever-evolving game, but I feel like an ever-evolving finished game is just a totally different experience from a beta, and I think a beta can sour you on a game very, very quickly. So, yeah, I'm totally, totally stoked for a lot of this stuff, but I think I'm going to pull back from playing betas of things.
Yeah, I actually think alongside betas, alphas, early access, I'm going to pull away from playing free-to-play stuff. I feel like, you know, it's fun for that small bit of time as you start, and then it starts to become a chore, and you don't realize that, or at least I don't. I don't realize it's become a chore until I've been doing the chore for a good couple weeks, and I'm like, what am I doing? Delete. So if it were New Year's, I'd probably say my New Year's resolution is not to play any more free-to-play games, because on my list that today I've only had time for these free-to-play titles, and the iPad is such a great platform for amazing, and I guess I shouldn't say I won't play any free-to-play. Like, there are great examples like Hearthstone. That
I was just going to say, that's the one that I've been playing. I haven't been playing any other mobile titles. What I've been doing is turning my phone into a hotspot and then using my iPad on the bus to play Hearthstone. And I can usually, like, with Curse of Naxx was so awesome because I could get through, like, the normal bosses and usually the class challenges on either, like, usually it only took me the trip into work, which was actually kind of bad because I go to work really, really early. I get on the bus at 7 a.m. So I would, like, beat all the bosses and beat the class challenges from, like, 7 a.m. till 8 a.m. when I actually got to work. And then, like, I would go home or go to do Angry Chicken Notes, and I was just like, I can't remember what bosses I played or what decks I used or anything, because I'm just like, I haven't had my coffee yet. I don't really know what I did. And I'm just like, oh, I had to go play all that content all over again because I'm just too sleepy in the morning. But that's what I've been playing on mobile. And it doesn't really fit because there's a link in our show notes. Sure. And I'm just going to drop it in the chat room. So Ryan found this, and this is from the guy who did the
It was the Smite video.
The Smite video. So the thing about Smite goddesses and saying how they're actually, you know, true to historical, I guess, imagery. And then there was another one about one of my favorite video games, which is Majora's Mask. And talking about how, like, that's actually, like, Link is actually dead in Majora's Mask. And it's, like, it makes me want to go back and play the game. Anyways, this guy, it's a game theorist on YouTube, is fantastic. So just dropped a link into the chat room. It's his latest YouTube video, or just one that you just randomly found?
It's recent. Sometimes I subscribe on YouTube to his channel, and occasionally I'll catch new ones. He posts a new video about once a week, which is crazy considering how much research. And the guy's got to be super smart or have a bunch of people working for him to be able to pull all this information together every week. But he does a great job.
They're really, really good. So anyways, this one was on addicting games and the dopamine thing cycle in your brain and all that kind of fun stuff. So it was really, really interesting to see, like, the free-to-play models and the kind of things that they play into in terms of our brain chemistry and all that kind of stuff. And it's the things that, like, you already know kind of vaguely that's how they work. Then he talks about, like, personality and how a lot of gamers have addictive personalities. But that's not a bad thing, because we're, like, driven and, like, crazy obsessive about things in a good way, in a leadership potential way. So, you know, good and bad sides. But anyways, it's a really, really interesting video you guys should check out. And it's made me never want to touch a mobile or free-to-play game again. Like, I look at this and I'm like, oh my god, it's Simpsons Tapped Out. This is exactly what Simpsons Tapped Out did to my life. They hacked my brain.
Yeah, I think it's specifically the free-to-play titles that use the energy mechanic and mm-hmm. the free sort of like come back every day rewards. I've got a couple on my iPad that I've been playing, including the game that he was playing in this video, which, idiot, you don't watch a video on addicting video games and then think, that game looks pretty good. I should play it. Yeah, and it's
just like Pokemon meets Candy Crush. Why wouldn't that be amazing?
That would not. It is a great game, but then you start to hit that wall where you realize it's a chore and the game isn't rewarding you as much as possible. And that dopamine hit, I don't know what it's been lately, but I think I've had to come to the realization of stopping to play these games is because multiple outlets are teaching me about the ways of dopamine. I mean, I don't know if you listened to Scott's therapy show with Wendy, but mm-hmm. they actually did an episode on addiction and talked about how the dopamine thingy works and, mm-hmm. you know, the percentage you get from enjoying a video game. And it's not as bad as meth. Meth's like 1,100%.
Well, I think, good. I'm glad that my addiction is not as bad as meth.
Yes, that's the goal. And, you know, video gaming is, I think, was in the range of, like, 50 to 100% alongside, like, smoking, I think. Oh, no, smoking was way higher. But smoking, the nicotine, it's kind of a drug. But, yeah, it's just, I guess I shouldn't lump all free-to-play games into one big bucket of awfulness. You've got those outliers that actually don't, you know, prey on the weak, like Hearthstone, and like Hero Academy. I felt Hero Academy was very good.
That's true. So for those of you who don't know or missed the craze or whatever, Hero Academy was something we were playing. Actually, probably coming up on 3 years ago is when it kind of started to be a thing. And you play against a friend on a mobile device, and then it came to Steam probably about 6 months after that. And you each pick a team, and originally there were just two teams, and then they slowly added different teams and mechanics and all that kind of stuff. And so you pick a team, your friend picks a team. Each team has like a pool of like six dudes that you can pick from, and then you would put them out on certain starting spots, and they all had, you know, like movement ranges like chess. And different things that they could do, and attacks that they could do, and so the objective was to destroy your opponent's crystals, which were placed somewhere on their side of the board. So you had to both defend your crystals and attack the other person's crystals. Yeah. And it was turn based, and it was like there were no, I guess, walls or energy or anything else. The only thing that slowed you down basically was like if I would make a move, I had to wait for Ryan to make a move, and then that could take 5 hours or it could be instant. So,
jeez, throw Ryan under. I was pretty good with my moves. I'd get
no,
right
that's
back.
True. There was a point in time where it was like, Ryan's made a move, and then I make my move. Ryan's made a move, and I make my move, and we were just going back and forth like it was like a real time strategy game or something. Yeah. We were so quick on the draw. But basically what you could do is you could pay money to have, like, different colors on your characters. You could pay money to unlock the next team. But that was usually, I think, was it $3.99 or $4.99 to unlock the new team?
It was, like, $2.99. It was $3.
Oh, was it? Yeah, because I can't remember exactly how much it was. It's been a long time since I played. But, yeah, so basically I ended up doing what I do with Hearthstone, which is, like, I play the game. If I play the game a lot, then I'll invest some money in it. So with Hearthstone, I have my 3 month rule where, you know, once every 3 months I buy my 40 packs, I spend my $50 because that's what I would do. Like if I was buying another AAA title, I would pay around that kind of money to do that. And I was doing that once every 3 months, give or take. So it's a really good kind of like gating mechanism that I imposed on myself. So I figured like I was playing Hero Academy all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And I'm just like, well, I should give them money because I'm really enjoying their game. So then when a new team would come out, I would buy it. I didn't buy the vanity items, I don't think, with the exception I might have bought one set of like little profile pictures because you could change your profile picture when you were going up against somebody.
Sure.
And I think that I did that once too. But it was basically just like, well, they make a good game, I'm having a lot of fun, so I'm going to give them some money. But yeah, it was never like buying something would say like get me a bonus turn before my opponent, so like I could go twice and they could go once or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it was never like hindering me from playing or anything. Yeah. And it was a pretty balanced game, so I mean like it wasn't like buying the new team was an auto win button or anything like that. So,
well, it's interesting because I feel personally, and I'm not a game developer, so if there are game developers that listen to the show, please do not crucify me. I feel like those free-to-play titles like Hearthstone, like Hero Academy, require more time in the planning stages to make a free-to-play game that doesn't prey, like I said, prey on the weakness of gamers. You know, that need for that, ooh, yay, 30 seconds of fun moment and for free, and then kind of like gate them. Mm-hmm. It's like locking, you know, a crack addict out of the den, right? You're not getting back in for another hit until you pay 99 cents. In this case, it's a little more than 99 cents and with that analogy. But I just feel like those gated energies are worthless. There's this game that I was playing called Two Dots, and it's sort of on the par with the way Threes kind of worked. It looked very much like Threes, but it was more like a Candy Crush sort of connect the dots thing.
Okay.
It was super good. It looked great. The aesthetics were awesome. The music was fantastic, and it was free to play. But there was no way to play it without... Damn it.
Way to play it without...
There's no way to play it without, you know, the energy. If you started to lose, it was like Candy Crush. If you lost, you had 5 lives. And then in order to continue going, you had to buy a refresh for 99 cents. A one-time charge. Not a one-time charge, but you pay 99 cents to refill your lives. And that is super defeating. And makes you want to throw your phone across the room. Like, why would I want to play a game that punishes me that severely for sucking? Like, that's not fun at all.
Yeah. Chat room is just throwing out some cool names of some mobile games that are good free-to-play titles. So Battleheart Legacy, Fates Forever, which is an iOS MOBA, Threes, which we've already mentioned, and Order and Chaos. So yeah, Threes is the only one out of those that I've actually played. But go check them out. Let us know what you think about those games.
Yeah. Order and Chaos is actually a World of Warcraft Game Loft clone type dealie and just went free to play. And Fates Forever I've never heard of. That sounds interesting as an iOS MOBA. But like really, I think I am, minus doing some research, I think I really am done with free to play titles without doing like really looking into it, because I don't want to waste my time anymore. Like,
yeah.
I'd rather buy a $6.99 game. Like, Thomas Was Alone just came out on the iPad, and I love that game, and I want to play it again on my iPad. And I'd rather do that than try and, you know, beat some stupid wood elf in Dungeon Keepers. You know, it's just a waste of time.
Can you hear that, like, really weird beeping stuff?
Yeah, it sounds like a microwave.
Yeah.
You making pizza pockets?
No.
But I hear it come through. I don't know. It's not me.
Huh, it's over now. No.
Yeah, good thing we're both hearing it. We thought maybe we were going crazy. Like, just...
I did think I was going crazy. I was like, where the hell is that coming from? So, yeah, sorry. Anyways, did you play anything else this week? Because I apologize, guys. I'll touch on it a little bit at the end of the show. But I haven't played anything this week. I played a touch of Smite, but not much. And I played a little bit of WoW, just enough to do my dailies. So I haven't actually played anything this week. I am so, so sorry. Oh, and Hearthstone I've played as well. Of course.
The stables, right?
Of course. Yeah, exactly. I haven't done anything new, at all. So have you done anything else before we move on to news?
No, minus the, like you said, the stables, the usual boot ups every week. These are the only two new ones, and I'm not going to go back to them. I will delete it on the show live for everybody to see.
Yay.
If that's what you want to see.
Kick your addiction.
Here, while you read this, I'm going to do it. You watch me.
All right.
I'm just going to make sure there's no like notifications on here that I don't want you to see. You know, like Ryan subscribed to Girly Magazine. I don't know. I can't think of
it. Girlymagazines.com.
Okay.
All right, so Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Also, guys, watch out, because we have something really cool coming, a combination TGI Doghouse-type initiative for Extra Life. So you guys should all...
It's gone!
It's gone. You guys should just stay tuned because we have some really cool stuff coming to you thanks to our sponsors, and it's all going to our Extra Life charity. So I'm super stoked, and hopefully we'll have more information for you in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. Announcement of an announcement.
Those are my favorite kind of announcements, especially when we're doing it. Can we have a countdown clock?
Oh, we should totally make a countdown clock.
Sorry, guys. We're doing a countdown clock.
So we actually have two news stories this week that we kind of wanted to touch on. The first is a leak that was posted on Reddit saying that basically Xbox was rolling out a free 24-hour, and they used the word play, and some people are throwing around the word demo, so I'm not really 100% sure, because now Xbox has come back and said, oh no, that's an error. But basically what the idea was is that there would be different games, some of them AAA, some of them indie, that would be available to play for a 24-hour period. So it's not like all games would be available at all times. It was like a free rotation. And basically you would be able to play that game for a set 24-hour period. So like a midnight to midnight kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so basically, a Reddit user captured it on his Xbox and then posted it, and Microsoft then said, at first, Microsoft CS on Twitter said, oh yeah, that's totally coming, and then they went, oh no, error. No.
Yeah. I mean, so, the reason we kept it in here is I thought it's an interesting premise, because I, for one, feel like if a game is good enough, your first impressions, 24 hours is probably a bit much. I mean, they recently announced that the EA Access games that you get 5 days early access is up to a max of 6 hours, which
what?
I think if you're buying, yeah, exactly. I think if you're buying a game, you should get those 5 days. So maybe like if you don't buy it, you only get 6 hours, but if you buy it, you get the full 5 days. I don't know.
EA just totally shit the bed on that one.
Oh man, EA shits the bed like they don't have a toilet, man. Come on.
I don't know what to even say about half of that stuff anymore. They're just so off the deep end.
No, with this, it's interesting because I feel like Microsoft is really in a position with their new sort of head of games to kind of try interesting things. And I think a free play day is sort of what they're doing with Origin with their free games. Like they're giving away. More recently, it was Titanfall's back on the list, but before that, it was Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, a fairly new title that is a $40 multiplayer-only game with no demo. So giving it away for 72 hours for people to play it for as much time as they want for 72 hours, that's a really good win, and a demo takes more time to build than actually releasing a game and having a time gate on it.
Yeah.
So,
and I think
makes sense.
Thing is, like, in terms of that time gate, like, you may sit down and think, oh my God, you know, 24, 72, however long they release it for, it sounds like such a big number and such a huge amount of time. Be like, well, for instance, like, oh, well, Bioshock Infinite, I can play through that storyline in 15 hours. So they're basically giving me the game for free. But the thing is, it's not that every game is always free and you get a free 24 hours. It's a rotation. You may or may not be able to play at that time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, for instance, there's the Wanderers Festival in WoW, which happens every Sunday night. Mm-hmm. But it's Sunday night at, like, midnight Pacific or something, which puts it at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, my time, every single week. So there's, like, a free battle pet. But I've never got it because it's 4 o'clock in the freaking morning. So, I mean, that is a very, very small event. It only lasts for like 15 minutes or something. But the premise is the same. If you are not free during that 24 hours for whatever reason, or, you know, people do have to sleep. We don't do Extra Life every freaking weekend, and there's a reason.
Wait, so, I thought we were doing our practice Extra Life this weekend.
Oh, man. Are we? I didn't put it in my calendar.
Wouldn't it be fun? We should totally not have a practice Extra Life.
No, we should not.
We should maybe play some video games, but definitely don't stay up all
24
night.
Hours. No. But anyway, so my point being that, you know, 24 hours may seem like a lot, but if it just happens to fall on, like, your sister's wedding weekend or, you know, like, there's all kinds of things that life can just pull you away. And so if it's not on your schedule, it's not actually that big of a loss for Xbox. And it's probably a big win for the actual games. Because, I mean, really, if you only have, like, on any given Saturday, like an hour, say, to try out these free titles, and then you're just like, oh man, yeah, I really like this, then you're probably going to be like, well, I can't play for the rest of the 24 hours, but you know what I can do? Spend $15 on this cool indie title that I wouldn't even have tried otherwise.
Yeah, I think it's a great way for people to explore new games that they probably wouldn't buy just by checking out a trailer. And of course, we're talking about this as a concept now that they've trashed it, but it's also a great way for Microsoft to test the waters. I mean, let's release this little screenshot that may or may not contain plans for our future on the system, you know, and see what people think. And I think the response was fairly positive. And if Microsoft is listening and trying to be hip and happening and trying to catch up with Sony, they're paying attention to what people are saying and hopefully trying to implement this and talking to publishers. And think about it, like, Halo 5 comes out next year and they have a 24-hour demo, no questions asked if you're a gold subscriber. That gives you 24 hours max to jump in, check it out, and, you know, maybe try out the multiplayer modes and see what it's got. And I think, you know, when you get into the campaign and stuff, like, 24 hours legitimately could be enough to beat an entire game. So I think there needs to be restrictions, but I don't know. It's an interesting premise.
So, I mean, I really hope that this is the kind of thing that Microsoft is moving towards. I'd really like to see it. Makes me pretty happy about still having a gold subscription, although it's Xbox One. It's not 360s, but I feel like I'm just going to get a next-gen system soon.
Get a PS4.
But, yeah, PS4, let's be honest. Yeah. But anyways, I mean, the thing is that if Microsoft does something like this, then PlayStation will follow suit, or vice versa. PlayStation does something cool and Microsoft follows suit. So
PlayStation's,
I mean,
already doing this. It's,
well, yes. Yeah.
They're doing it with PlayStation Plus and offering... Now, it's limited, but they offer 60 minutes of a full download. So, I mean...
Similar, again, like, because there you have a much smaller window, but it's on your own time frame, which I think is why they restrict the window. This one gives you 24 hours, but you don't get to pick when. So I think it's an interesting concept, and I'd like to see what they do with this. So our next story this week is actually kind of a two-parter. We had some interesting stuff, again, with Phil Fish. So he is the creator of Fez. There was also some other stuff that happened with another dev.
Yeah.
She was the one who created
Depression Quest. Yes.
So I don't want to get into all of that because that is a whole can of worms that I'm just not opening on the show. But basically, Phil Fish came to her defense and then they both got hacked. So... Phil Fish is quitting again. All of the things.
Well, yeah. We were talking on Skype the other night when we were playing Smite or something about how I was... I never unfollowed Phil Fish when he quit. And he started popping back up and he was going on and on about this... the Ferguson stuff, which I think is important to talk about. Yes, but the way he talks about stuff is obnoxious and very toxic. And if I wanted that, I'd go to Reddit. So I was like, this guy, and you said, just unfollow him. What are you doing? And I'm like, you're right. And I had followed him. And then I had to find out on IGN that he quit Twitter again. It's like, oh, great. He quit. I mean, the shit that happened to him was awful.
Yeah. Well, and see, and this is the thing. And I'm not picking sides. I'm not saying what I actually think. I would like to think that someone wouldn't be this stupid. But a lot of people are saying that he faked the hack and that he leaked his own information. There's, you know, evidence on both sides and the whole situation just messed up. So I don't want to gloss over the fact that there are some people who think that he didn't get hacked, that he leaked it. All on his own. So I'm not glossing over that. I'm presenting both sides.
I didn't hear that.
I would not be surprised, given some of the crazy negativity and just venom that is being hurled on the internet, not just in this specific situation, but I found just the internet in general in the past, like, well, it's kind of been ramping up, I want to say, over the last 8 months, but I feel like the last 2 months have just been awful. Like, absolutely awful.
Shit's going down. You
hear about it all the time, and it's like rape threats and death threats and, you know, like, just all this horrible, horrible, awful things that the internet, the anonymity of the internet, is allowing people to do. And it's even starting to bleed over into some personalities' personal life and not just their online life, but, you know, like getting like mail sent to houses, which is ultimately creepy. Like, oh, I can't even imagine. And it's just, it's the kind of thing where you're just like, oh man, like what is going on, people? So, I mean, like, I can see Phil Fish getting hacked for defending a woman in games.
Yeah.
Who's done something questionable. I can see this happening. I can also see Phil Fish doing something totally fucking nuts. So I can see both sides. But anyway, so basically what happened was he got hacked. I'm going to use air quotes. And then a whole bunch of information about his company and his employees were leaked. He decided he's quitting the internet, he's quitting video games, he's quitting Twitter, all the rest of it. And so his last tweet that he sent out, or I guess it must have been multiple tweets because this is way too long to be one tweet, but it says basically his last thing that he posted before he quit the internet was, this is video games, this is what I get, this is unacceptable, this is not okay, terrorists, never again, you hear me? Never again, this is video games, this
Sorry.
Is the audience. To every aspiring game developer out there, don't. Give up. It's not worth it. Yeah, so like, don't, period. As in, like, do not be a game developer. Not don't give up. Like, don't do it. Give up. it's not worth it. Nothing is worth this. Give up on your dreams. They are actually nightmares. Just don't do it. Run away in caps. And then he dropped the mic and quit. Yeah. So, in response to all of this negativity, because I've also seen, like, the ice box challenge. Ice bucket challenge.
You do not want an ice box dropped on your head.
No. Along with this We Love Game Devs hashtag that's on Twitter, like, I've seen really big positive movements happening at the same time, but, like, man, oh, man, it's starting to get really polarized. But anyways, yeah. So in response to all this negativity that has been kind of thrown in the face of all these game devs over the last, like, little while, there was a hashtag created. It's hashtag We Love Game Devs. And basically you can go on Twitter and see everybody's responses. And it's basically like all the reasons why you love games and game developers and just showing them that it's worth being in the industry. It's worth creating. And we appreciate everything they've done for us. Because, I mean, like, video games have changed my life. Let's just be completely honest. Like, opening up, admitting I'm a gamer, just owning it, loving it, getting into podcasting. Like, yeah. I am a totally different person. I am way more outgoing. I just, you know, like, video games have literally, literally changed my life. So I love all game devs, and I appreciate what they do because I know it's not easy. It's difficult to program. It's difficult to art. you know? Everything that goes into video games is really, really hard to create. So I know I can't do it. So I absolutely appreciate the people that actually do make their living creating for me so that I can have some fun. Yeah. So, I mean, anyone who hasn't checked this out yet, go look at the We Love Game Devs hashtag on Twitter. Super cool. Ryan, what do you think about all this? I just realized I've been talking for like 10 minutes.
I was dealing with the devil over here. Seriously, I'm going to have to spring for a sitter. I read Phil Fish's statement, and I should have let go of him a long time ago. I love Fez. Fez is great. It's an awesome game. But that man needs help. Whether it's help learning how to talk to people, or whether it's help to get away from these negative people that have just latched onto him and won't let go until he, I don't know, does something even stupider than this. But I just think that there's a couple problems wrong with the game industry, and it's not the developers. It's
like, chat room is pointing it out. Like, I mean, he does not have a whole lot of respect for his, I don't want to call them coworkers, employees. Colleagues, yeah, colleagues is a good word for it. Doesn't have respect for people who play his games, his fans, just at, like, game journalism. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really torn down.
Yeah, and
the entire industry at one point or another,
mm-hmm.
Multiple times in horrible ways. Like, the guy's a dick, and we've covered how much of a dick he is over and over. But nobody deserves, like, and again, air quotes, nobody deserves to get their personal information thrown out on the internet. It's just,
and the people the people he worked with, and the people who still work at his company, are great people, and if you follow them on Twitter, you'll notice that they do not act like Phil Fish does.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice, and they continue to run the company Polytron. Maybe not anymore. Fuck.
Why did you give her a squeak toy?
It's right here. I'm gonna kill you. You want this, don't you? Damn it all, man. I'm trying to make a point here. Yeah, you want up now, don't you? Here, come here. You're not moving until we finish. Okay. So, so basically, I think that, that Phil Fish is an outlier, but I think the real issue with the game industry is not just the game industry, it's the internet as a whole. Like, there are just people out there who do not know how to act like human beings, and it creates messes like this. But then, for every person who can act like a human being and treat people equally, there are awesome people that are doing this hashtag stuff, like We Love Game Devs, and I believe that creative people who are following these hashtags and seeing their names mentioned, for every bad comment they get, for every five bad comments they get, one of these comments probably just sparks them right back up. I know it would me. Like, all it takes is one good comment to kind of, like, get you going, right?
Yeah. True.
Creativity, you know, with creativity, it's fueled by positivity. And that comes forth with the product, right?
Yeah. So I think if you haven't taken the opportunity, go and tweet your favorite dev or your favorite community manager or anybody really who's going to get the message across about how much you love video games and how much you appreciate the work that they do. I just wanted to remind everyone that if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head over to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H loot.com to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt like the one I am currently wearing. Yay! They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com to show off your podcast pride. We have a couple of listener feedback items to talk about tonight. Josh Cook, who is the_JDC on Twitter, tweeted us and said he was listening to the EA Access podcast again and wishes that he was there to defend the product for Xbox One. So, I don't know. I mean, is there anything really you can say to defend this, especially with some of the things that have come out since their initial announcement? Like, I mean, come on. Come on, Josh. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, hey, he has an Xbox One, and for $30 a year, I mean, so I had someone say to me, I heard on a podcast someone say, like, $30 a year is you basically spend it, and then you immediately don't regret it. Like, it's gone. $30 is nothing in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, it may not pay for itself, but I find, like, especially with PlayStation Plus, like, some months will come out where there'll be games that sort of, like, pop up in the store for free, and it's kind of like, oh, I wouldn't think of, like, Road Not Taken. I would not buy this because there's just so much else out there, but because I get it for free, I'm going to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's that scenario, I think, which helps because, you know, and Josh, give me a chance. I think with the Xbox One, it's a nice new feature to get more games in your hands. But then you see some of these stipulations coming out, like the 6-hour max for the pre-release, and what other stuff are they going to impose?
That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, if anyone can defend EA, we would love to hear it, and we will absolutely read it on the show. Did want to take a second before we get into this email to thank David Carver, who is one of our patrons. So if you want to be a patron of The Gamers In, you can do so at patreon.com/thegamersin. We appreciate each and every one of you. We have a blast doing game night. So you can vote on what our website's going to look like, what we're going to play for game night, all that kind of stuff. Plus, you get your first shot at invites to play with us every Thursday night. So it's a great opportunity to spend some time with us, to hang out, and have a great time. And you can do so either by being in the chat room or actually being a patron and getting an invite. So head on over. Again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. So our email this week comes to us from Boomaya, who said, "Guys, I just listened to the podcast about Wolf Among Us and spent the whole thing going, this sounds like a ripoff of Bill Willingham's Fables, only to read up afterwards that it's an official game spinoff. Think maybe you could have mentioned mention that once in your hour talking about show, seeing as a lot of game nerds are also comic nerds. Despite that, you have a new listener who followed me here from The Angry Chicken." So thank you very much for your email. That was actually the fifth installment of our Fable spoiler show.
Sure.
So, or sorry, not our Fable, our Wolf Among Us spoiler show. So we did mention off the top, which was probably episode, like, oh, I don't even know, maybe 110. Mm-hmm. Would probably been back around there where we did our first episode spoiling The Wolf Among Us. So we did mention that it was Fables, and try not to repeat myself that much, but it is a very valid point that we probably could have given more information just as an overview at the start. So we will keep that in mind next time we do a spoiler episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh no, I feel like we mentioned it, but now that I think back, it's kind of like when you play a game for a good year now, it feels like it's almost second knowledge that it's that it's based on a certain product. Like, mm-hmm. Could you imagine if you know, we start talking about Game of Thrones and they say, "Oh, this sounds a lot like the Song of Ice and Fire, guys." Yeah, I'm not making fun of you, Boomia. I think it's a very valid point, and I'm glad that you decided to stick around, even though we've made this. We'll try harder in the future, I think. So Goddess is based on GOTUS for the PC. It was early access, kickstarted by Peter Molyneux, and yeah, check it out. It's really cool.
It is really
cool. Don't play Dungeon Keepers.
So I think that pretty much does it for us this week on the show. So I just wanted to, before I go into the outro, take a couple seconds here. I have been going through some pretty terrible shit in the last couple days. And I really appreciate everyone's kind words on Twitter. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my co-hosts on Angry Chicken, Garrett and Dills, as well as Terpster and Scott from The Instance have been awesome. So I just wanted to take a second and thank everybody. Thank Twitter, because, you know, you guys are just, you've been fantastic. So I love you all. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all the kind words. I don't really want to get into exactly what's going on, but I'm sure it'll come out eventually. So, yeah, thanks everybody. I appreciate the support and I love you. So, yeah. Also, thanks for supporting me for canceling game night last night, because I swear to God, it would not have been fun. It would not have been fun. So we're going to try to do some more streaming. I'll have some time coming up. So, mm-hmm. Really looking forward to all the super cool things that that we can get into. So,
perfect.
All of that being said, you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought of Phil Fish or of Microsoft's choice to potentially give us 24 hours of free access to games, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thank you for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.